Yeah, since Ivy's not here, we'll blame John. Amen. That's a Deuteronomy 8 and 1. Okay, we're going to just do a quick review. I don't know how quick the review is going to be, but look at Deuteronomy 8 and 1. It says, all the commandments, you should have that underlined because God said all of the commandments, all of his prescriptions, which he has commanded us this day, shall you be careful to do that you may live and increase and go and own the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. He swore the land unto them, but Jesus came and he said he's given us life and that more abundantly. So when we keep God's word, when we keep God's prescriptions, then we experience the full, the abundant life that God has for us. When we don't, then we struggle and we live in frustration and futility, depression and disappointment. But it's because we aren't keeping the prescriptions that God gave us so that we could live. God is the great physician, and he prescribes these prescriptions. Most of us can relate to that because we take some form of medicine from a doctor, and they say, you take this so you can feel better, so you can get better, and we take it. And we don't question it. God says, take this, read this, do this, so you can live better. And we go, but I think I can do it better than you can, God. So God says, you have to take these things. And he's going to tell us in this chapter alone, it's three different occasions. And we'll go over those three where God says, be careful to do. Why? Because he knew it would be tough. So we're trying to navigate through this world. It'd be tough to do what God says. Somebody say amen. God, I think I have a better way. But as Jesus said, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. God, if there's any other way, if I could go through this life doing my own thing, I'd like to do it. But nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. So that's where we are. Then we pick it up in chapter 2. I'm sorry, verse 2. And then Moses said, you got to remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness. So here, God had to take them through the wilderness. Family, in my studies, I have found out that the world is a wilderness. The world we live in right now, it's all of it's the wilderness. Back in the day, some of us old school remember the group War. They made a song called The World is a... All right. I got some folks in here. Amen. For you and for me, the world is a ghetto. They were close, but for us born again believers, the world is a wilderness. So it's the wilderness. They had a physical wilderness to go through. And then when you look at the world, because it's filled with distractions and deception and all kind of other things that distract us from doing what God told us to do. So, all right, so here it is. Here's the revelation. Know what you're up against, family. We got to identify where we are. Otherwise, we're not going to have victory in the wilderness. If you don't understand that everywhere you go, your job is a wilderness, hopefully not your home, but it could be. The schools, don't get me started on the schools again. The gym, everywhere we go is to distract us from the will of God for our life. Okay, what's the will of God? We talked about the three things. Number one, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. That's number one. And the wilderness does everything it can to distract you from that. Then number two is to love God as you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the wilderness does everything to distract us from doing that. And then number three, Jesus said, go out and make disciples. That's the Great Commission. Those are three things. You can't say as a Christian, I don't know what my purpose is. Yes, you do. When you add to it, because the wilderness wants to add to your purpose, that you have to be this and you have to be that. And God says, no, love me with all your heart, your mind. Keep it simple. Love me with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then go make disciples. Everything else is a distraction, really. Family, we got to identify where we are. Everything else is a distraction. Okay, now our job, I'm at my job. I'm loving God with all my heart, my soul, and my strength. I'm loving my coworkers as hard as it is, as I love myself. And I'm trying to disciple somebody there. I'm trying to make a disciple there. And the byproducts of that, okay, we get a paycheck and all that kind of stuff. But that's not your purpose. If you're upset with your job and you're upset with your school and you're upset with, then you've forgotten your purpose. And the wilderness is seeping into you more and more and it's distracting you. If you're upset with anything, it's because the wilderness, as we go through the wilderness, is grabbing at you. It's clawing at you. It's saying, you need to do this. You need to look like that. You need to act like this. You need to be like that. You need to talk like this. You need to have this. If you don't have this, you're nothing. And we get distracted by all those things. And we're going to try and get to the five things that distracted them, the same five things that distracted us. I got all these notes. I'm going to try my best to stick to the script, but it is it's difficult already. Amen. So we have to identify that the world that we live in is the wilderness. The wilderness is described as just as that place where you could be alone and angry and broken and battered and confused and exhausted and empty and lonely. It's that place where you just have no rest and no peace. You're wondering and you're wandering. You're frustrated. And that could be every aspect of life. But God says, oh, make a note to this. God says, even as you're in the wilderness, you must live a disciplined life. You got to keep the commandments. That's why he said, you got to keep my prescriptions. Otherwise, you're going to get jacked up in the wilderness. If you're not sticking to the word, you're going to be jacked up. I'm telling you, because that's what it's designed for, to keep you jacked up, wandering and wondering. They wandered for 40 years. The trip should have taken 11 days. Across the Red Sea took 7 days. So when they got to the other side of the Red Sea, 11 more days, and there were the land that God promised them. But because of the wilderness, because of everything that happens in the wilderness, all the distractions, it took them 3 days. Once they saw the miracle of God, they came across the Red Sea. 7 days, again, 11 days to the promised land. But in 3 days, they started complaining. It only took them 3 days. After the Red Sea, and if you ever, you know, it's not like a pond or a lake, what people say, they didn't really cross anything. But for those of us who's been over there, that Red Sea, it's a real sea. And it's beautiful and it's huge. Took them 7 days to get across it. And when they saw that miracle of that big, beautiful sea stand up, they got across it 7 days. And in 3 days, they started going, man, why'd you bring us over here to kill us? Only took them 3 days to start complaining. Oh, that is one of the reasons. Make a note. One of the reasons they stayed in the wilderness because of murmuring and complaining. That is one of them. It'll keep you right where you are. Then you'll be frustrated and you'll be murmuring and complaining about everything. But remember, the world is a wilderness. So you got to be careful not to get caught up. Be grateful and be thankful because you got to go through with discipline. It's one of the reasons they got caught up. Sister Kathy, I got a bunch of read this, so I got to start reading this. It's very important that you take your medicine daily. Amen. We know the medicine, metaphorically speaking, is the word of God. All right. And then those of you that actually have to take medicine, and you already know that that's what your doctor prescribed. And we're not in a rush to really get to heaven, although we can't wait to get there. We're not in a rush to get there, so we're going to take our medicine. Then God says, be careful to keep his commandments. And he repeats this 15 times, 15 times in the book of Deuteronomy alone. Don't get distracted so you can live physically, mentally, and spiritually. Not just exist. God wants you to live. Jesus has come to give us life and that more abundantly. He wants your marriage to live. He wants your kids to live. He wants your ministry, your relationships, your job, your business. God wants all that to live and have life, but you got to be disciplined and you have to do it God's way, even when you're in the wilderness, because you're not going to get away from the wilderness. But make a note, it's not about the stuff. It's about using whatever God has given us to fulfill the Great Commission. Amen. It's a use. Whatever God has given us, it's about using that for the Great Commission. We talk to our youth when they go off to college. It's not for a degree, because a degree is not going to get you into heaven. In this culture, you see, in the wilderness, this culture has already elevated college over Christ. Our kids are going to college, getting eaten alive and getting turned out in the wilderness, in the name of progress, in the name of education. Because we've elevated, even the church, we've elevated college over Christ. So for our youth that are in college, it's not to get a degree. It is, but it's not. The number one goal is that there are students there that are going to die and go to hell, and they need to hear about the gospel. And there you are, filled with the Spirit, trying your best not to get distracted in the wilderness, because you need to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You're planting seeds and you're cultivating seeds, youth and those of us that are not so young on our job. You're planting seeds and you're cultivating seeds in our ministry. And we have to be about our Father's business each and every day, even as we go through the wilderness. So we look at verse 2. He said, you should remember all the way which the Lord has led you and I into the wilderness these 40 years. Number one, to humble us. All right. Why do we need to be humbled? Because we have been infected and affected with this satanic pride, like Satan was, and said, I should be my own boss. I can do my own thing. I should be like God. I don't have to listen to anybody. I should be like God. I can figure this out by myself. See, we've been infected and affected with the satanic pride. That's why God sends you through the wilderness so you can stay humble. Amen. Amen? So you don't think that you are the master of your own destiny and the captain of your own ship. I can see when y'all falling asleep. That's why I hit the air condition. Okay? So you don't think that you are in control, family, because we're really not. So he sends us through the wilderness. So you understand, I got to stay humble. Then he sends us through the wilderness to test us, so you can know what's in your heart. And look what it says. Whether you would keep his commandments or not. God sends you through a tough situation. God has you on that job. God has you at home. God has you in a relationship. God has you. Who do you really love? I want to see where your heart is at. I want to see if you can keep the word in this situation. And here's a revelation. God sent you and I through the wilderness to expose a secret thing in our heart. Maybe you did know it was there. Maybe you didn't know it was there. But now you got to deal with it, confess it and forsake it, surrender it to God so you can move forward. So then he can deal with the next thing that we've been hiding, like we got it all together or it's not there anymore. It's what the wilderness is for. We shouldn't fight against God in the wilderness. There's no reason to fight against God in the wilderness. And family, I wish I could use that as an excuse. But we can't use the wilderness as an excuse not to live a disciplined life. We can't use tough situations as an excuse not to live a disciplined life. That's just the word of God. We talked about it in Matthew 4:1, where Jesus was tempted while he was in the wilderness, right when he came out of the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan told him, do your own thing. He said, I can't, because God says, just like he says in verse 3, that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So look at verse 3. And he humbled us and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna which you didn't know of. Make a note, God provides in the wilderness. Don't panic. Don't fall apart, because God still provides in the wilderness. Somebody say amen. Amen. In that tough situation, God still provides. So don't fall apart. Look what he says. And he fed thee with manna which you didn't know. Neither did your fathers know. Nobody knew. God provides. They didn't know where it was coming from, but God knew. But look what he said. That he might make you know. Underline know. God wants you to know that you just don't live on your physical strength alone, but you live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. do we live? Make a note, we don't live by what we see. We have to live by what God has said. That's what you call walking by faith and not by sight. Because if you live by what you see, we're in the wilderness, we're in trouble, we're going to give up. We're not going to make it. We're going to become undisciplined because what I see is counterproductive and counterintuitive to everything God has said. And so if I'm looking on the things that I see, then I'm going to be easily distracted. And there I am. God's trying to give me the life that Jesus promised, the abundant life. And I'm so distracted that I get comfortable in dysfunction. And I'm so comfortable in dysfunction like they were for 40 years until they just God killed them off. And they never got to where God wanted them to go. Wow. So I can be so comfortable in dysfunction that it becomes normal. Here's a revelation. I wrote the note. God, please don't let me die in dysfunction. I get so comfortable there like the children of Israel that I die there. And everything that God had for me, I never get there because I'm so comfortable in dysfunction. It becomes a way of life and I'm in the wilderness. I don't even realize I'm in the wilderness anymore because dysfunction has become so comfortable, has become the norm. And then I die in dysfunction and the life God had for me was right there. And I spent all my time wandering right here. God, please don't let me die in dysfunction. And the deception of this dysfunction is so strong that it'll make you think that you're right where you need to be. And you're nowhere close to God. And family, that's why I'm telling you, the world is a wilderness. You just look at it and everybody got it going on. But if you're not following, so they think, but if you're not following the prescription, if you're not following the word of God, you're comfortable in dysfunction. And you could have a big house, you can have a big bank account, you have a big car, you have all that, and you're so comfortable and Satan is like, just like these guys and girls, 2.2 million people. And those that were 20 and above, only two of them made it, Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them, God, you die in your dysfunction. You die in your dysfunction and you're comfortable there. And remember, one of them I already gave you was murmuring and complaining. That's all they did. God said, you die, you murmur, you complain, and just go ahead and wander, keep wandering, going in the same circle, eating the same grass in the same circle, and then you die. Because you refuse to keep my commandments. But look at this, verse 3. I have a read this. It says, okay, that God wants to teach them. They need to know that man does not live by bread alone. Okay, so here's the question I have. I have a read this, Kathy, all right? It says, what are you living by? What are you existing by? If you're not living by the word of God, you don't have a choice. You have to live by your feelings, gossip, rumors, emotions, impulses, social media, TV, radio, music, video games, your education, or the satanic horoscope. Some people will read the satanic horoscope before they read the word of God and they wonder why their life is falling apart and they're comfortable in dysfunction and they won't go a day without reading the satanic horoscope. Wow. Wow. I want to ask you what sign are you? Don't let people throw that satanic stuff on you. You throw it back and say, well, you know, I read the word and I'm connected to the one who created the stars. I'm way above that. My sign is the cross or empty tomb. Yeah, I'm weird, so let them come on. Either I minister to you or you're going to run. Don't let them throw that stuff on you. I'm not in the wilderness with you. Don't live by that stuff. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You're going to live by something. And if it's not the word of God, you're in the wilderness. And you don't even know it. And God, help me not to die in my dysfunction. Family, I'm still reading this. Family, I want you to have a heart-to-heart with yourself tonight. and try to figure out what you're living by. Is God's word the final authority in your life? We must live by the word of God daily as we wander through this world, also called the wilderness. God wants to make us know. You go through the wilderness because you will know when you're in that situation where it's nobody but you and God. And parents, we talk about it all the time for our kids, and we do a lot for our kids. But for the youth, kids, it's going to come a point where it's just going to be you and God, and mama can't help as much as we love you, and daddy can't help, and you got to decide. It's going to come. It might come tomorrow, but it might come 20 years from now. It might come 30 years, and you got to have that. God, I was living through my parents. Even some of us that's older, I've been living through my parents' grace. But there comes a time, so I'm telling you tonight, be proactive. Have a heart-to-heart with God tonight and say, God, am I really connected to you? Do I really love you? Is your word really the final? And be real with it. And then do something about it. Either keep pursuing God or start pursuing God. God wants to make us know. He's sending us through the wilderness so we will know. It's not what you see. It's what he has said. It's not about what we see. It's about what God has said. All right, got another read this. Verse goes with verse 3. You and I are living by something. Ooh, here we go. Most people live by the mirage and deception of the world. Don't get distracted. Don't forget your God-given purpose. Remember, I gave you the three. Love God, love your neighbor, make disciples. Everything that you and I do, all the gifts that God has given us, the ministry, the open doors, is to love God, love our neighbor, and make disciples. Anything else comes with that is a bonus. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Lord, I got a big paycheck. Thank you, Lord, I got a job. Thank you, Lord, I got some new friends or whatever. But thank you, Lord, I got a degree. But the main goal, loving God, loving my neighbor, and making disciples. And I happen to get a degree in the process. Amen. I happen to start a business in the process. I happen to get a high school diploma in the process. I happen to get a business in the process. I happen to get a church in the process. But don't get distracted, family. Don't get distracted. We live by trusting God in every aspect of life. That's why it's called we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't live by what we see. We live by what God has said. Make a note. This is a journey of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God if you don't have faith in God. You can't walk or trust God if you don't believe that God is, that he is who he says that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You have to believe that. That's basic. Then embrace the journey, embrace God, and bless him as you and I journey. All right, stay in chapter 8. Look at verse 5. He says, thou shalt consider in your heart. It always comes back to your heart. Remember, God said he sent us through the wilderness so we can see what's in our heart. It comes back to the heart. Is your heart connected to God's heart? You shall consider in your heart that as a man chasten his son, so the Lord thy God will chasten us. God will discipline us while we're in the wilderness to make sure that we stay focused on him. Not to run from him, but to stay focused on him. Verse 6. That's why you shall keep the prescriptions of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to respect him. That word fear means to respect the awesomeness of God. That's why Proverbs said the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. Or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When you respect the awesomeness of God, then you're ready to learn. Most people think that they are God. Yeah, they do. That's why I don't need God. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to talk to nobody about God. I got this. So you can't learn if you don't respect the awesomeness of God. If you're above God, If this is old, if this is irrelevant, if it's ancient, if it's outdated, if this book right here means nothing, it was for the old times, it means nothing to me, you don't respect the awesomeness of God, and you can't grow. You can't learn, and you're not connected to God, and you're in the wilderness, and you're comfortable in your dysfunction, and you're going to die there. So verse 6, let me read it again. He said, that's why, because God will discipline us. Somebody say amen. Amen. All the parents said amen. Amen. See, we get it when we're disciplining our kids for what they've done. I remember my oldest daughter, and since she's not here, I'm going to talk about her. All right? I remember Jay, her teacher would call. Every week we'd get a call from one of the teachers. Starting from where, Tracy? Fourth grade or something? Maybe. Yeah, maybe kindergarten. I don't know. I can't remember. It starts early, yeah. Oh, man, I'm trying to, what is going on here? Jay's mellowed out. Although she's here, not here, I'm going to talk about her anyway. But I remember it was around like 14, 15, and Tracy and I were planning on taking her to Magic Mountain, and we said, we're going to surprise her, you know, surprise the kids. And a teacher called. And then said, Jay, and I went in the room and said, Jay, you have no idea what your mom and I had planned for us. But you went and blew it by getting in trouble. And I walked out and went to the bathroom, and God said, now you go look in the mirror and tell yourself that. Because I'm speaking to you now. You have no idea what I had for you, but you tripping. I started being a little bit nicer to my daughter, I tell you that much. See, as parents, we get it. We're going to discipline our kids when they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But as children of God, we don't get it. We want to fly off the rails and then be disappointed and try and figure out, God, why am I in the wilderness again? Because you're still doing the same thing. And I got to chasten you. Otherwise, you're going to die in dysfunction. And I don't want that for you. See, we get it as parents, but we don't get it as children of God. That's why verse 5, he says he's going to chase. That's why you keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and respect the awesomeness of God. Yes. Now look at verse 11. He also says that, now beware, because he knows how we are. Look what he says. He already told us, okay, keep the commandments. Verse 2, verse 1, keep the commandments. Here we are. Verse 6, keep the commandments. Here's verse 11. Beware that you forget not your Lord, the Lord your God, to keep his commandments. Why you got to keep telling me that? Mom, why you got to keep telling me to clean my room? Because you ain't cleaned it yet. Why you have to tell me to do the dishes before I go to bed? Because you left them last night. God, why you got to keep telling me to keep my commandments? Because you're not doing them. And you're getting distracted by the world. You're getting distracted in the wilderness. It's a mirage. It's a mess of a mirage. And you letting it capture you. It's dysfunctional deception. And you're getting sucked in. So I got to discipline you. Verse 11. Beware that you forget not the commandment of God. In not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I commanded you this day. Look at verse 12. Lest when you have when you've eaten and you're full and you built godly houses, you got your nice job, I've been to most of your house and most of y'all house in here. Y'all got some nice houses too. You got some nice cars, got some good jobs, some good business. That's what God is saying. And you've been over to my house and you see, and God said, when you get all this stuff in the wilderness, you forget. Verse 13. And when your herds and you're blessed, you got your cars and you got this and you got that and your silver and your gold. You're wearing, you got your nice jewelry, your nice shoes, lady. Ladies, you got your hair done, you got your nails done, and God's blessing you. Verse 14. Then your heart be lifted up with that satanic pride. And you forget the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Who has led you, verse 15, through the great and terrible wilderness where there were fiery serpents. Somebody say amen. Sound like my workplace. Somebody say amen. You got to go tomorrow on your job and deal with those fiery serpents and the scorpions and the drought. Where there was no water, ain't no life on your job except for you being light and life. And you can't get distracted because they need you more than ever. Who brought you forth water out of a rock, of a flint. Who fed you? He God gave us, God provides for us the life of the water of life and the bread of heaven, which your fathers didn't know. God provides in the wilderness that he might humble you, that he might test you to do good. So God wants to do good. The test is so you can do good at the later end. Every parent knows that. We discipline our kids so when they get older, they're doing well. That's what God is saying. Don't fight me. God is saying, don't fight me on this. Don't fight me so you can die in your dysfunction. Don't do it. God sees what we don't see. He's saving us from ourselves, from getting totally, so we won't totally self-destruct. Look at verse 17, because you know we'll do it. And you say, and I'll say in my heart, praise the Lord, my power and the might of my own hand has gotten me everything I got. How soon we forget. Hey, man, I went to school. I got my degree. I worked hard for mine. Get yours. I got my own degree. A couple of them. I got my job. You go out and get one. I started my business. You go start. Man, I don't want to hear it. Let me read that one again. Verse 17, and you say in your heart, my power and my might has gotten. That's why God has this. God, thank you for sending me through the wilderness so I can stay humble. And so you can keep exposing the stuff in my heart that needs to come out so I don't die in my dysfunction. God, you thank you. You're doing me a huge favor. Yes. And I love you for that. Yes. I will not fight you. So I can get into this mess of a mirage and this dysfunction of deception called the world. Verse 18, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he. Come on, somebody say amen. We couldn't do nothing without God. It's God who gives us the power to get. We couldn't get out of bed unless God said, get up. We couldn't think to read if God didn't give us a mind to read. We couldn't sit in a class with a boring professor for 4 years unless God gave us the endurance and the strength to do it. We couldn't drive to get a job if God didn't give us the ability to do it. We couldn't have the patience to maintain a relationship if God didn't give it to us. Everything that we do comes from God. And God sends us through the wilderness to remind us. And the world is doing everything it can to distract us so we can die in our dysfunction. Let me finish this up. Well, I'm going to stop. I still got two more pages of notes. But, you know, we stop where we stop. And if the Lord wills, we'll come back. Lord will, we'll come back next Sunday and pick it up. And I'm telling you, it gets better. It gets better. And as I'm, family, you know me, as I'm studying, I'm evaluating myself. And I can't ask you to do anything that I'm not doing. I've challenged you for 3 years now to wake up early, at least give God 5 minutes before you have your first meal and use that as your praying and fasting time. Not because pastor says so. Because we don't live, this is not a religious, don't make this a religious thing. It's not a religious something I used to say. It's not religious relationship, right? It's not a religion, it's a relationship. And it's not a religious activity, it's a relationship opportunity. How do you get to know God if you don't spend time with God? So I'm not telling you, because I get up and I do the same thing. I have my praying and fasting time. I'm telling you, God is, I got to stay connected to God, because when I walk out my house, the wilderness is there waiting. And I can't get distracted. I don't want you to get distracted. It's there and it looks really good. It looks very attractive. And we got to fight daily. That's all to it. It's not about perfection. It's about connection. So don't think you have to live a perfect life. You have to live a connected life. Don't let anything in the wilderness disconnect you from God. There you go. Don't let not your health, not your not your health or your wealth, not your success or your failures. Don't let anything disconnect you from God, because you're in the wilderness. We got to get through. And we live that abundant life that God has for us, that complete life in Christ. And along the way, we're loving God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength, loving our neighbor, and we're making disciples. That's it. Everything else is an opportunity for that. So let me close this out. Let me finish. Let me go back to verse 18 so we make sure we don't forget. But thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto our fathers, as it is this day. Verse 19. And it shall be if you do. And it shall be if thou do at all forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them. Family, I'm telling you, that's what's going on in the wilderness. That's one of, that was number two. They worship idols. So they're in the wilderness wandering around. One thing they were doing, they're murmuring and complaining and they're worshiping idols. That's why those are two out of the three. And we'll get to the other three and we'll break those down. We should next week. They're worshiping idols. We even have a TV show, American Idol. I tell you, we stupid with this. We don't even get it. American Idol. Let's worship an idol. Let's worship something. Because it says you're going to worship and serve. You're going, family, we're going to worship and serve something. We have to. So here you go. Because we were built to worship. Either it's God or it's something else. So here we are. We're in the wilderness. God say, 11 days, you're going to get there. But I'm murmuring and complaining. And while I'm in that, I start worshiping other stuff. I start worshiping people. I start worshiping things. I start worshiping places. And now I'm going in circles. And I'm in dysfunction, but I'm so into this worship stuff. And, you know, we'll get into brands. We'll get into logos. We got social media. We got everything that we can worship, and teams, and Golden State just won. And I can watch the game without worshiping them. All right. But see, you got to know where to pull back and go, man, I'm not, I can enjoy the game, but I ain't all like, you know, worshiping, you know. I can appreciate, as a ball player, I can appreciate ball players, but I'm not worshiping. LeBron might be the king on the basketball court, but he's not my king. And so, but this is, they're in the wilderness, and they get into worshiping stuff, and they don't even realize it. And it's normal because everybody's wearing a shirt. Everybody's got a hat. Everybody's got a logo. Everybody's a brand. And we're cool. This is what we do. And let me read this too, because it's, let me just, okay, Kathy, let me just read this one. And which one do I want to read? I want to, where is it at? Okay. All right. I'm trying to close this up, family. All right. I got to give you this before we get into next week. But here, the worst thing about living in any type of sin is that you will not experience the abundant life that Jesus Christ has promised us in John 10:10. You and I can get so comfortable doing our own thing that we think a sinful, dysfunctional life is normal, and we wander and wander in the wilderness for the balance of our frustrated, unfulfilled life until we die, never to experience the full, complete, purpose-filled, abundant life that God has promised us. See, it's not a problem that I'm shacking up. All right? That's not the worst thing. The worst thing is that you get comfortable in that dysfunction. It becomes normal. And then you die in your dysfunction. And you never get to where God wants you to go. And it's not even shacking up. It's not the worst thing about you filling the blank. What are you? Whatever it is that's holding you in there, that stronghold, it's not about that. It's about that you never get to where God wants you to go. Don't judge me. I need this for financial reasons. I'm not talking. You're missing the point. You're comfortable in your dysfunction. You're going to die there and you never get to where God wants you to go. Oh, man, I'm a man. I can, you know, I need to go to a strip club every now and then. I can watch some pornography on my computer, man. You can't judge me, man. You know, dude, I'm not even talking. You're in dysfunction. You're going to die there and you never get to where God wants you to go. I'm not talking about judging you here. I'm talking about where you're never going to get to. Because you're comfortable. You're chewing grass in the same circle for 40 years. People so defensive. Oh, don't judge. You missed the whole point. But that's the spiritual warfare that we're in, and the deception. Well, you think I'm trying to judge you, but I'm trying to tell you God has something more. You're in dysfunction. And you're comfortable there, and we can't let you be comfortable there. Not in this house. We're going to preach the word. You're not going to be comfortable in the dysfunction, because we know that God has promised us life, and that more abundantly. All right, so I got to table it to the next. Let me finish the scriptures. Let's go back to 19. Are we still at 19, Dominique? Okay. All right, let me finish it up. And it should be that if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I'm testifying against you, Moses, and I'm testifying against you this day that you shall surely perish. You're going to die in your dysfunction. We all got to die, and the ultimate reward is that we're passing through this world. This world is our wilderness. Where are we trying to go? Well, we're going to get to paradise with Christ. See? But we got to get through this wilderness and not get distracted by the dysfunction, because our ultimate reward is paradise. We have the life that he's given us here, the abundant life, but the ultimate reward is that we transition from the wilderness to the promised land. Our promised land is a paradise with Christ. So we got to keep an eye on the prize, and that's why we want to take as many people with us. That's why we're making disciples as we go. Verse 20, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, he destroyed them before their face, and they couldn't get it, but it's okay because we don't get it either. I wanted to get upset with them, but we don't get it either. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish. Listen to this, underline this, because you would not be obedient. You wouldn't be disciplined. You wouldn't keep the prescriptions unto the voice of the Lord. It's your God. It's personal. Make it personal. That's why. Because we wouldn't be disciplined unto the voice. It's three voices talking to you. Your own voice, which is a problem. Satan's voice, which is a bigger problem. And then the voice of God, which is trying to lead us on the right path through his word. You better know who you're listening to. You better know who's speaking to you. And the rest we'll pick up next week. Now, if you would, just bow your heads for a minute and we'll just... Oh, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for giving us not just information, but revelation. Yes. That we can identify the mess of the mirage that we're in. This dysfunctional deception that's called the world that we're in. And you love us so much, Lord, that you would tell us, stay disciplined. And I'll send you through a tough period so you can humble yourself, see what's in your heart, and deal with it. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are our Father. You haven't left us fatherless. Even if we didn't have a physical father, we got a spiritual father, God, and you love us so much that you would pause and say, look, I'm with you. I'm providing for you. Stay disciplined in the wilderness. Don't get distracted. Love me. Love others. Make disciples. Keep yourself holy. Don't get comfortable in dysfunction. Don't get distracted by the dysfunction. I want you to live. I don't want you to die in dysfunction. Get disciplined. God is saying, just give me 5-10 minutes a day each morning, reading through the Proverbs, reading the gospel, praying for God's wisdom, praying for others. So, Lord, we accept the challenge. Because we don't want it to be business as usual. It's too much going on, Lord, for us to walk out of here and just think that this world loves us. The world is a wilderness. It's a mess of a mirage. It's a ball of confusion. dysfunctional deception, orderly dysfunctional deception. So God, thank you for the opportunity to get it right. Thank you for your word. God, help us to be obedient to your word. It's not about what we see. It's about what you've said. Help us to be obedient to your voice, Lord. And to ignore the enemy when he tries to condemn us or try to tell us that you don't love us and you don't care about us. God, we rebuke and resist the enemy right now as we submit ourselves to you. We resist the devil. You have to flee. We stand on the word of God. We are redeemed. We are saved. We are justified. We are cleansed. We are free. We are born again. And Lord, we thank you that you did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. So Lord, I want to pray right now. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I got to make the first step. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I don't even know what that means. I don't know if I'm saved. It just means that God has rescued you and I from death, hell, sin, and the grave. You need Jesus Christ in your heart to even understand you're in the wilderness. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart and I want to get saved today. Elevate your hand. I want to pray for you. You don't have to leave out here guessing. It's not about a feeling. It's about God's word. God's word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. Jesus Christ split time in half, died for our sins, our past, present, and future, covered us and cleansed us with his blood. And if you haven't asked Jesus Christ into your heart, then you're still in your sin. Anyone say, Pastor, that's me. Elevate your hand. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. That's between you and God. That's the heart to heart we talked about. God, I've been in the wilderness and I love the wilderness. I've been comfortable in the wilderness, but I realize, God, it is a mess in the wilderness. So if you need to rededicate and the word says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then that's between you and God. You don't have to raise your hand. That's heart to heart. That's you and God. And God, we ask for forgiveness. And thank you, God, each day for cleansing us. As we get, just like we take a bath every day, we need to confess every day. We need to wash off the world. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for a second chance and a third and a fourth to just stay attached to you. God, we commit to not letting anything disconnect us from you and from your word. And maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home and you've visited and you never made it official. Pastor, I want to join this morning. Elevate your hand. We'd love to pray with you. We're not members, we're family. Lord, we thank you and we love you. God, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Cover your people. Bless your people. Be with us, Lord. Make us keenly aware of the wilderness around us. Never let us be comfortable in the wilderness again. We don't want to get away with anything, Lord. Don't let us be comfortable. Let us see it. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Give us discernment that we recognize the wilderness right off, the deception, the mirage, the distraction, and we run to you and grab and embrace you even tighter, and that we stay disciplined while we go through the wilderness. Thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed. Members, we're going upstairs.